Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Great job, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by Jesse Simonton at Jesse Ray Simonton on Twitter from VolQuest.
Ray is R-E, by the way.
Yes, Jesse R-E Simonton. First of all, I'll ask what's going on. And second of all, I'll tell you, we're all still scratching our heads over that quarterback sneak. Although Jordan Rodgers did a fine job of breaking down maybe what was supposed to happen.
As did you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, yeah, I kind of thought I tried to detail it late Saturday night, kind of going away. You know, I asked Trey Smith point blank, you know, what was called. You know, Brandon Kennedy, he said, you know, this was called in the huddle and then something changed. Well, they didn't actually huddle, and that's kind of where I think there was some confusion post-game. But Jeremy Pruitt probably summed it up best, guys, I thought this morning when he said, you know, we all know what happened. We all saw what happened. And we're moving on from it. And there's really nothing Tennessee can do other than kind of, you know, swallow their throat, say, hey, that was a big missed opportunity, and move forward. Because what clearly happened is that inexplicably, for no reason that we know of right now, Garantano decided to call his own number there instead of go with the same play call, which in talking to folks, I do think Tennessee basically called like a hot read audible, you know, get to the line quick, basically same calls we had last play. You saw it diagnosed, but they have the extra offensive lineman in there with Kayvon Calvert playing tight end. Trey Smith pulls, Crouch looks like he's headed left. For a handoff, Pope fills up the hole, the gap, right where the guard would be, then there's no quarterback to turn around and hand the ball off. So it was, you know, I put this in my review piece on Sunday at VolQuest. You know, Garantano's had kind of a house. It's been a house of horrors in the red zone for him throughout his career, really. I mean, he called his own audible at Florida 2 years ago. Obviously, he's had the interceptions. This was certainly the biggest mistake he's made. But, you know, I think many of them have come with good intentions, but it's just the results have just been calamitous, and it's just been full of calamity. And that was kind of the biggest takeaway from a game that I do think that Tennessee showed some fight, had some real promise in. And yet, ironically, and I put again, I had this in my review piece too, guys. It's funny. College football is a weird sport sometimes. Tennessee loses by more than 3 touchdowns, and yet I'm not sure the fan base has ever been more galvanized behind Jeremy Pruitt.
No, I think that's exactly true. We talked about that earlier with the grab of the face mask with Garantano. But it's an interesting situation too, because I think, Jesse, a lot of coaches would be done with that quarterback, like would never take another snap. But because of where they are with the position, I think he's got to start on Saturday, probably, right?
Well, and so I was one of the ones that immediately after, you know, I saw that sideline interaction, I was in Tuscaloosa, and then talking to some people post-game, you know, I was one of the ones that fired off on Twitter immediately, hey, is that the last time we see Garantano play quarterback for the Vols? But then in talking to some people post-game, I thought it was pretty clear in Pruitt's post-game comments on Saturday when he decided not to really, you know, throw JG under the bus and kind of defended his redshirt junior, kind of even said, you know, he did some good things, even though, again, it wasn't just that the goal line was the biggest missed opportunity, but he missed the touchdown throw to Juwan Jennings, wheel route to Tim Jordan. There were other missed plays out there. He was 0-for-6 or 7, I think, on throws 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. So there was other plays that Tennessee left out on the field, but the fact that Jeremy kind of defended him on Saturday night, late Saturday night. Yeah. And then today, you know, used in back-to-back sentences that he's never lost faith and that he has, you know, never wavered in his support of JG. I'm in agreement, you know, Brent. I mean, I think that there's no way that they don't start JG on Saturday because they don't have faith that Shrout can just simply operate the offense. It's not an arm talent deal with JT Shrout. It's operating and getting the guys in and out of the huddle. It's making sure you don't have delay of game penalties. He was in there for 3 snaps on Saturday, had a delay of game penalty. That's something that's been a problem in every scrimmage Trout's been in. at Tennessee. And so if Maurer can't go, which is the expectation right now, considering he didn't practice yesterday, can't go today. This is a kid who suffered two concussions in 8 days. You know, it'd be borderline irresponsible maybe to play him anyways. So I think you're probably going to see some Wildcat stuff with Juwan Jennings, a bigger package, but that's not going to be your sole game plan. So Tennessee's going to run out number two there again on Saturday would be my best guess right now.
What? It's hard to grasp the fall of JG. I just remember last year, you know, prior to the Vandy-Tennessee game and Coach Pruitt saying, yeah, I think we can win games with JG, you know? What has happened? Where did it all go wrong? Where's the digression? I guess, how?
Well,
answer.
The problem with that, Don, is that there just right now isn't any clear, you know, evidence or example, I should say, answer to what exactly has gone wrong with JG's confidence. Because this is a kid who's clearly going through a crisis of confidence right now, but it's been like that ever since the Georgia State game. A couple weeks after that, right before he was benched, I had a piece on BallFest that kind of outlined what's wrong with JG, and it pointed out kind of the discrepancy between his play action numbers. That, you know, a year ago when he had success, you know, he graded out as one of the best play action throwers in the SEC, right behind Tua and Jake Fromm. And then, you know, most consider those guys, you know, I know Fromm's going through some struggles right now, but those guys consider those guys day one NFL quarterbacks. And JG was right behind those guys. So, he has struggled in play action this year, but even worse is that he's seeing the field even slower than he saw it a year ago, and that's just exacerbated all the other problems with holding the ball too long. He's throwing the ball into traffic, which he was mainly risk averse a year ago, so you see the interceptions. And again, I think it does circle back to confidence. Ever since that Georgia State game, he's not kind of had the same moxie and I think go get 'em attitude maybe. That he had a year ago, and clearly the guys have rallied around Brian Maurer, who he's going to make his share of mistakes too, but you've also seen kind of as the fan base has been galvanized behind Jeremy Pruitt after this loss. I think the team has really been galvanized behind 18 the last 3 weeks.
Jesse, on the way out, what were your thoughts on Cigargate?
With the ESPN guy, I mean, I actually didn't see that, you know, on the field with all the other stuff going on, folks covering, you know, the calamity again that was the JG fumble and all that. I mean, I didn't see that happen. It's certainly not a great look, but neither was, you know, I mean, I'll tell you this, guys, that was a weird night between the officiating, between Tua going down and the ambulance and the, you know, it was just an ample amount of storylines. I'm convinced, you know, it's funny because Tennessee did fight and they're showing signs of life. They're showing promise. But I'm not sure how many Tennessee fans realized that Tua basically didn't play for three quarters and kind of what that means, you know, in terms of what maybe your takeaways from that game could be. Yeah, Tennessee lost their quarterback too. And so it's a double-edged sword there. But Tua scored touchdowns on three of his four drives that he was in, and the other one he just, you know, threw it right to Nigel Warrior. So Tennessee is showing fight. But I think Saturday is kind of a must-win if they're really going to, you know, I wrote this, if Jeremy Pruitt, with all the fire and fury he had, you know, on Saturday night, it's time for that to really ignite this team in the second half of the season, and it starts with a toss-up game against Carolina and a Will Muschamp team they haven't beaten.
You can check out Jesse's work, volquest.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Jesse R.E. Simonton. Thank you, Jesse, for the time. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good afternoon.